Dan Friedel.
This is VOA News in Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. Witnesses say three Palestinians have been killed in an airstrike that Israel's military said was targeting a Hamas commander in southern Gaza. The deaths happened less than a day after the UN's International Court of Justice ordered Israel to do all it can to prevent death, destruction, and any acts of genocide in the Palestinian territory. Meanwhile, Britain, Italy, and Finland have joined the United States, Australia, and Canada in suspending funding for the UN Relief Agency for Palestinian Refugees, aiding Gaza's population. Israel has alleged that some agency staff members took part in the October 7th Hamas attack that sparked the war. The agency said it has fired the suspected staff members and launched its own investigation. The situation involving attacks by Yemen-based Houthi rebels on vessels at the Red Sea and the subsequent military response by the U.S. and its allies has escalated in the past 24 hours. Early Saturday, U.S. Central Command announced its forces had conducted a strike against a Houthi anti-ship missile installation in Yemen they say was aimed and ready to launch at a Red Sea target. That strike came after the rebels fired on the USS Kearney, a destroyer which intercepted the missile. It was the first time the rebels had directly attacked a U.S. warship. Late Friday, the Iranian-backed Houthis struck an oil tanker, the Marlin Luanda, causing a fire which burned until Saturday. Director General of the Institute of Export and International Trade, Marco Forgoni, told the BBC the strike on the tanker marked an expansion of the Houthi attacks on two fronts.
From the Red Sea to the Gulf of Aden, so geographical extension, and also with the type of weapons. The missile used yesterday was a ballistic missile, and the Houthis started their attacks in the Red Sea using drones. So we're seeing a technological expansion and a geographical extension.
This is VOA News. Chinese diplomat Wang Yi and top diplomat Wang Yi and U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan held talks in Bangkok Saturday, which both sides described as candid and substantive. The meeting was described as a follow-up to U.S. President Joe Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping's meeting last year in San Francisco. In a statement, the White House said Saturday's meeting was part of the effort to maintain open lines of communication and responsibly manage competition in the relationship between the U.S. and China. Mr. Sullivan stressed that although the U.S. and China are in competition, both countries need to prevent it from veering into conflict or confrontation. The statement said the two sides held constructive discussions on issues that included Russia's war against Ukraine, the Middle East, North Korea, the South China Sea, Myanmar, and Taiwan. The statement said the two sides committed to maintain the strategic channel of communication and pursue additional high-level diplomacy, possibly including a call between President Biden and President Xi. The U.S. Congress is racing to eliminate a costly tax break that was meant to protect workers' jobs during the COVID-19 pandemic. AP correspondent Jackie Quinn reports.
It's called the Employee Retention Tax Credit. Congress established the program during the pandemic to encourage businesses to keep workers on the payroll. It was expected to cost the government about $55 billion, but it's drained about five times that amount. And a whistleblower recently reported more than 95% of the current claims are fraudulent. Most lawmakers want to close down the program and are trying to pass legislation that would increase penalties for those who submit false reports. They estimate that could generate about $79 billion this decade, which they hope to put toward a more generous child tax credit. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Starting this year, the California grade school students are required to learn cursive handwriting, a reversal for a generation of children who embraced illuminated screens for learning. Reuters correspondent Angela Johnston reports.
It's called the Employee Retention.
Cursive is making a comeback in California. In an era of computers and tablets, the skill has fallen out of fashion, but a new state law requires students to learn the old-school style of handwriting by the time they leave the sixth grade. The new law was sponsored by California Assembly member Sharon Quirk Silva, a former elementary school teacher who said she was inspired to introduce the bill after a chance encounter with former Governor Jerry Brown in 2016. The bill turned law requires handwriting instruction for grades 1 through 6. Experts say learning cursive boosts cognitive development, reading comprehension, and fine motor skills.
In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.